to the Spurs News Podcast, your home for all things Tottenham Hotspur. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 234 of the Spurs News Podcast, Squad Chat Part 2. It's the second one. I am still Sam, and he is still Stefan.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. It's been a while. Long time no speak.
I've got to try and find the paperwork from the last one we did.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's here somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
It's here somewhere, yeah.
Okay, so we had looked at the goalkeepers, we'd looked at defenders, just in case someone has had a bit of a break between the two shows. Can you remind us of the position of where we're at in terms of... squad, the reminder from the rules of the first thing, 25-man squad for the Premier League, 17 can be non-homegrown. Europe, which we hope to be in next season, again, 25 players, 2 must be goalkeepers, which is fine. 8 of those need to be homegrown, and 4 of those 8 to hit the maximum of 25 need to be club-trained.
Yes.
If you need more detail, go to the start of episode before this, which was episode 233, where I explained in a bit more detail, but I'm not going to do it again. So, where are we?
Okay, so currently our squad at the moment, goalkeepers, Vicario, Forster, Whiteman, and Austin. And our defence is Romero, Van de Ven, Dragusin, Porro, Royale, Udogi, and Ryan Sessegnon.
You have to say what? Sorry. Sorry. Romero, Van de Ven. Who was that other one you said?
Dragusin. I cannot pronounce his name. You know this. I've been calling him Radu. That's all I call. I was like, go on, Radu. Go on, my son. Go on, Radu. Because... Dragusin, I don't know. Weirdly, I get a weird accent when I say it as well, which I don't understand.
It's the goose. How did you get goose in there? It's Dragusin.
Dragusin, that's what I said. Dragusin. Dragusin.
Goose?
Yeah.
Who let the goose loose about the house? Okay, all right. Yeah, okay, I got to shake that off. Right, sorry, mate. Do the defenders again because I ruined it.
Sorry. Romero, Van de Ven, Radu, Porro, Royale. Destiny and Ryan Sessegnon.
So that is 2 fullbacks on both sides and three defenders.
That gives us a total of... And in the goodbye list, we have Rodon, Tanganga and Spence. And in the I love you, but I'm sorry it didn't work out, we have Davis and Regulon. So that means we have got 4 homegrown, 2 club-trained... And so far, we have 7 in the foreign player list.
Yeah, so
we already have 11 players named, and 7 of them don't classify with what we need.
Okay, so we're now moving in the midfield. And bear in mind, once we've gone through this and we've kind of like done it as, okay, we want him, keep him, don't want him, whatever, we're then going to look at it and go, oh, crap, we're going to make some hard choices.
We have 29 players and 72.
Yeah. I mean, so far, I think we're being pretty brutal. We're being pretty sharp, but maybe, like, so, for example, Ben Davis isn't out the door. He's holding the door currently. And
it may be
that Ben gets to walk back in. Yeah, I might be, yeah. We might be allowed back
Dorman
in.
Dorman Davis, we call him.
Or someone may kick him out the door. Okay, so we move in the midfield, all right? So the midfield.
Are we
going to
start with the whole central defensive midfield and go from there?
No, I'm just classing this. These are the kind of central midfield, and I know there can be some debate about this. I know there can be some kind of like, oh, so for example, I've got Madison in this bracket. I know you could argue that he's further forward, but for me, Madison can be deeper. You know, so he's a midfield, he's central midfielder. I always class Lampard as a central midfielder and Gerrard. So.
Ben, agreed. Dele Alli was a midfielder.
So there is some debate over some of these, and I tell you for why, because this for me is the area of the team where this summer I feel there needs to be the most work, which might catch people off guard, but that's just my personal opinion.
I'm going to say players to leave, and I feel like I'm going to get a few eyebrows and you're going to get some angry emails.
So can I start with one I think me and you can both agree on is staying, and that is James Maddison.
Agreed. Right. Yes.
So James Maddison's in, and he's classed as homegrown. So that's box ticked. Okay, so we can both agree on that with an element of certainty.
Yep.
I think another one, me and you can both agree on, is Pat Matasar.
Yep.
I think he has proven himself this season, and the kid's only going to get better. He's a phenomenal talent. Pat Matasar, unfortunately, was on the under-21 list this current season, but next season won't be. So he takes up a foreign player slot.
He is an X on the list. Yep.
Okay. So the next one, which I'm not sure if we're going to agree on or not, I hope we do, is Bentancur. I think Bentancur is definitely an important part of the squad.
I agree.
Excellent. So Bentancur.
Now, I think personally, the three players you have just named should be our starting three midfield next season.
Well,
it's my personal opinion.
All right. Well, that's so Bentancur in, and of course he again takes up a foreign player slot. Okay.
He does indeed. Yes.
So the next one, which again I think we're going to agree on, but many people possibly won't, is Oliver Skipp.
Yep.
Now, for me, there's different aspects to this, and I want people to hear it. Oliver Skipp is a very good player. He is a defensive midfielder who this season is basically being retrained to go box to box and sees something in him and is working with him and the coaches are working with him. He's had game time earlier in the season but hasn't had a lot recently. He isn't even making the bench, which a lot of people are like, oh, wow, he must be on the way out. But from various things, it is more that it's just his focus is on, okay, I need to adapt my game to suit Ange Ball, and this is where my work's going.
Yeah,
I think there's two parts to this. I'm going to say, as a player, if I am Oliver Skipp, I am potentially going to Ange, going to the club, and saying, I want to play. Like I feel I'm good enough to play. I feel like I've proven that in the right system as a defensive player, like I've always played, I'm very good. And I think he would have every right to do that. And I think as an individual, I could understand why he'd want to maybe leave this summer. From a club point of view, I don't see how we could let him, because he is not only homegrown, he is club trained. And we are missing those.
We are needing those. Now, whilst we talk about Skippy.
Yeah.
I want to just put to bed a few of the social media things that are going around.
Okay.
So Oliver Skipp appeared to become, after Harry Winks left, everyone kind of went on the, well, Skipp must be next then, with his whole, he can't pass the ball, he only passes in one direction, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He was the next one on the list. Now, I am currently looking at his stats for this season.
Yeah.
He's made 17 appearances. Four times he's started, three times he's been subbed off, and he's played 571 minutes.
Yep.
Okay, now his distribution, he has got a 91.5% success rate.
Yeah.
That's 307 passes, of which 281 have found their target. Yep. And he is averaging 48.4 passes a game. So he is a player that is good at getting the ball moving. And successfully getting the ball moving.
Yeah, I mean, now, stats, of course, you could argue there that every pass he makes is safe, and that's why his percentage is so high.
However, of these passes, the pass direction with the lowest percentage is backwards.
Well, that's not good.
No, that's the lowest amount. Like, he passes back less.
Oh, okay. I thought the success rate was the worst. Like, when he does pass, he always hands it to the opposition. Here you go.
Every back pass.
Good luck.
No, he passes backwards less than any other direction on the pitch.
I did know that. I did know that because of the way he plays. I mean, look, the myths around players are started by narratives online. So one person says it, a couple of other people who aren't watching the game read it and therefore believe it, and then the narrative is created. Someone said in a message into the podcast not that long ago, and I think it's one of the best things I've read in a while, which was, next time Tottenham are playing, don't look at anything people are writing. Watch the game yourself.
Yes.
Form all of your own opinions, and you'll come away with a much different view than if you are reading things. And it is true. Like, I watch the games, but because I watch sometimes via my iPad, which means I'm on a slight delay, and I'm doing the page updates, I will follow on Twitter alongside it, just in case. Because I'll tell you what actually works quite well is if a goal goes in, I will know if VAR are ruling it out before I've seen it happen. The modern football is kind of killed the joy of goals for me. It's like, oh, goal's gone in. Okay, now we wait. And yeah, it's allowed. Brilliant.
Wait for it.
So, like, you know, I get in the stadium, you still react, but, you know, I'm feeling for commentary still at the moment. So
yeah, I must be honest. Yeah, celebrating a goal is very different nowadays.
Yeah. So, I often get this. I'm often watching a game myself and then reading, and I'm like, I've just read like 10 tweets basically slamming someone for their performance, and I'm watching them, and I'm like, okay, I'm seeing none of that. But then it's very easy to then be influenced because you're like, oh, okay, and then like you might look up and see them lose the ball, and you're like, oh, there it is, crap, absolute rubbish. All those people were correct. That's like the first mistake. So, yeah, it was very good advice, and I do stand by that. Form your own opinions, especially if you're not watching the games, because you can read what people are saying, and it just creates narratives around players. And unfortunately, sometimes it sticks, and also it can create quite nasty narratives that can become almost abusive, and it really impacts players. It, like, really impacts them. I saw a lot of people abusing players and tagging them, and then people, a bit of backlash over it. I saw some of these accounts go, oh, it's not like they read it. It's just their social media team. It doesn't matter. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but that's crap. You see reports from players all the time, and they deactivate comments and stuff. So it does go red.
And even if they have a social media team, there is no way you're telling me that these players don't then look through social media themselves.
Yeah.
And even if it's not through their own account, now say, all right, say a player has got a social media team that helps them out. Yeah. They're still going to go home and, you know, sit on the loo and scroll through social media like the rest of us do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to see stuff, you know?
Yeah. The old surf and turd. Anyway.
Exactly.
So from midfield, I think we can both agree on Oliver Skip.
Homegrown and club trained. Yeah. Double tick.
Yeah. Okay. So then we move to the first one that I think is going to be a little bit controversial, maybe, and that's Yves Bissouma. Bissouma started this season brilliantly. I've seen flashes in the odd game recently of that player, but from the day he got sent off diving, which was just the most bizarre thing, he has not seen the same player to me. Personality-wise, etc., around the squad, apparently he's brilliant. Professional-wise, trains really well. Every aspect of him, you know, and you look at the attributes and the things he's got with Ange Ball, it seems that all tick. But as the season's gone on, I've become more and more convinced that we need to perhaps upgrade him, as in look to him moving. There's games where he's the player that needs to be the one. I hate doing this because it feels lazy, but Dembele, for me, you could give that guy the ball and he wouldn't lose it. You know, you just like he was your. If you're a defender and you're under pressure, you give it to Dembele. Dembele a turn and sort it and take the ball away. And Bissouma started the season in that. He was doing that. He was the player that I thought Ndombele was going to be for us. And then for whatever reason, it's just gone. I don't know whether off the field something's happened. I mean, we know international, he went away with AFCON and contracted malaria, which is very nasty. I don't know whether perhaps he's just struggled, form, fitness. Perhaps he needs the season to end to kind of get himself back and fit, and next season we'll all go, oh, there it is. You know, there we go.
Yeah, it's difficult because, like you say, he should, and he's proven how well he can play in the system.
So this is again one of these interesting things where I think as a fan I've looked at him and just gone, his level dropped so dramatically, I'm concerned about him. But at the same time, the manager and the coaches work with him day in, day out. They could be aware, look, you know, he's kind of limping to the end of the season here. But he'll be all right next year. You know, we'll sort this out. So there could be things that have gone on that they know and find. I think it's one of those where if all of a sudden we were ready to sell him, I think every fan would be like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see why. You know, that's not a shock. You can see his performances have gone. I think if we retain him, I think what we need to do as a fan base is look at that and go, there's clearly a reason why it's been up and down for him. And the coaches are aware, the managers are aware, but they got faith in him. So, you know, I think this is another thing where we're fans and we're supporters. And I think we can all look at a player and go, well, it seems a bit off. But if the people are working with him day in, day out, or seeing it, then I think we need to get behind him as well.
There has to be a reason that he's still being started every game.
Yeah, so from my point of view, I think he's in. I think he's in.
For me, he is a skin of the teeth, but in.
Yeah, okay. So that's...
You know, he's one of those ones. He is in, however, if an option came available that you couldn't turn down for a great price,
yeah,
I think he could be replaced by that person. But only if a player comes up and we go, you know, let's go pie in the sky, Frankie de Jong, Barcelona decide, you know what, actually, no, we really do need to sell players to, you know, stay afloat. Yeah. And a player like Frankie de Jong came available and we went, well, crap me, that's a world-class player. That's an upgrade on pretty much anyone in our midfield.
Yeah.
Get him in. Then Basuma would go out. However, that's highly unlikely.
Yeah.
So for the moment, he is in, but he's also taking up another one of those slots, I believe.
He is, yep. So that's another non-homegrown slot taken. Okay, so the next three players we're going to talk through, varying different reasons, etc. I think, for me personally, are all to go, all right? So I'm going to go through the three, and I'll give you the reason why I think all three need to go, and you can then chime in, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to start with Højbjerg. I think he needs to go because he tried to leave all of last summer. He tried to leave all of January. He is a consummate professional. He's fit. He's reliable. He doesn't suit Ange Ball. He lets people run off him too much. We need to replace him, and he wants to go. So for me, that's a simple one. Giovanni Lo Celso is a player who I rate highly whenever I get to watch him play football. I don't get to watch him play football enough. He is far too injury prone. Unlike Sessegnon, he isn't homegrown. So for me, he needs to go. Tanguy Ndombele, I don't even need to say it. Everyone who's watched him play can see the guy's got ability. It has not worked from day one it's at us. And every club he's gone on loan to, it's the same story. He's going to have back-to-back league winners medals from Italy and Turkey, which is hilarious. But once again, it proves that winning trophies
It's definitely a team thing, not an individual.
Yeah. So for me,
that's for sure.
I've given my reasons. Those three, I think, are all out the door, in my opinion. What about your good self?
The only one, well, again, so Pierre-Emile, he has been a fantastic servant for us. He has frustrated me since day one.
Yeah.
His inability to track a runner and marking at set pieces is just non-existent. However, he has been a hell of a professional this season.
Yeah.
And considering this season, everyone knows he tried to leave in the summer and he tried to leave in January, but the right deals weren't there and he stayed. He has gone on that pitch and he has given 100% in every game.
Yeah.
You can see in the celebrations when we score and stuff that he's involved in the games.
Yeah.
You see his celebrations and stuff. He is 100% committed to the cause until the day he changes his kit.
Yeah.
You know, so for that reason, he is on the thank you goodbye list and not the just get out the door list.
Yeah.
But again, he's on the out list main, you know, as much as he wants to leave, as much as anything else.
Yeah.
So he is on that list. Now, Giovanni Lo Celso, this is the one that I've got a bit of a question mark on.
Okay.
If we could keep him fit, then he is like a perfect replacement for Maddison to rotate with.
So that's...
And...
Yeah, go on.
And at the same time, he can play... Like, we've seen him. He's got the Argentinian streak in him. And we have seen that he is a very good tackler of the ball in both on his feet and in a slide tackle. He is very good at getting the ball.
Yeah.
We've seen in flashes at Spurs. We've also seen on his loan spells just how good creatively he can be. I mean, last season he was in Spain and I planned him almost as a striker. Like, he was so high up the pitch and he has got all the ability and all the talent.
Yeah.
The question mark for him is that fitness thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's been at the club for a long time. He's been at the club for, and he's only just made 100 appearances.
Yeah.
And we have players that do that in two seasons.
Yeah.
You know, so his fitness is difficult for me, and that's why it's a bit of, I think he will go this summer.
Yeah.
I would expect him to go probably back to Spain. Ange clearly likes him to have him around in the squad and to be playing him.
Yeah.
However, I think the injury for him, it's the injury. So with Pierre, it's, you know, he wants to leave, doesn't fit the system. With Gio, he fits the system and plays well when he plays, but it's the injuries that gets him out of the club.
Yeah.
And then we go back down to Tanguy and Ndombele.
Yeah.
Now, there's a question mark here, because surely it's good to have someone with that winner's mentality in the squad. You know, two league titles in two seasons. You know, that's,
mate,
we've
only got so much time. Let's not even, let's not even make jokes.
Let's just get him out. Yeah.
So we're actually agreed then, those three. Goodbye, goodbye, good riddance.
Pretty much, yep.
All right, okay. Now, into the midfield as well, which is an interesting one, we have signed a young player called Bergvall. Now, he
looks exciting.
He is an exciting player, and he appears to me, from what I'm seeing, to be a little bit box-to-box, but also potentially competition to Maddison in that role, creative role. But possibly a little bit more dynamic, taking the ball to feet and running at people more than sliding passes through. Very limited knowledge on him. I'll hold my hands up. I'm working this based on just footage I've seen. And, you know, highlight reels can be deceiving. I once watched one on Ndombele. Now, the interesting thing around, the interesting thing around him is, despite his age, so in the Premier League, we won't need to register him, because he's under 21, okay?
Yes.
But in Europe, he would need to go onto the A-list if he was making our squad. So I think we definitely have him in the Premier League, Bergvall. But I think put a little star next to his name, because depending on the numbers, there might be a horrible decision to be made.
Oh, where am I going to write that one down? Okay, yep.
Yeah. Now, there's two other players I just want to mention in the midfield, because I want to get your view on this. And that's Alfie Devine and Jamie Donnelly. Devine is a little bit deeper, a little bit kind of more central midfield, more kind of get on the ball, drive from deeper. Donnelly,
would he classify as the box to box now?
I'm not sure. I've watched him on loan in League One, playing that role brilliantly, and a little bit further forward. I don't think he's had the same amount of game time in the Championship as he was getting in League One. And because the manager's changed, I'm not sure, you know, that's kind of, it appears he's a bench option now. And coming on, like, covering, like, okay, he's coming on to play six, coming on to play eight. It's not really a set kind of role. So it's a little bit hard to judge. I don't know where the clubs see him. I mean, I initially saw him as a Maddison type.
That's what I expected, yeah.
But that doesn't appear to be where he's kind of settling in. Donnelly is very much the Maddison type. Donnelly came for the academy very much as a striker. I mean, he was scoring goals at every age group for fun. He's now developed into this kind of number 10 role, and his assists and goals this season for the under-21s means
oh, it's crazy numbers.
Everyone should be taking note. Now, I personally think, and again, this is just me, that depending on what competition we're in, for me, would depend what I do with these players. I think if we make the Champions League, I think both of them need a loan. They need to go out to a Championship team, ideally, or a League One team if they're going to play every week. Just get them first team games next season. If we're in yep. the Europa League or even the Conference League, again, me personally, I'd like to have both of them in that first team squad and both of them getting minutes in those competitions, especially in the early rounds.
No, that's, I think you're right.
That's my thought.
I think this is one of those ones of why I get a lot of hate from Spurs fans. I would rather see us in the Europa Conference or the Europa League, because realistically, are we going to go and win the Champions League next season if we qualify? I wouldn't put us down as one of the favourites.
No. This is
that's when it then gets difficult, because if you're not one of the favourites to win it, then is it kind of a, we're there making up, we don't want to be there making up the numbers either, you know what I mean?
Man, it's a debate. Look, this is a debate where, for me, you should always be aiming to win the league, and if you don't win the league, you're going to finish in the top four. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where you then need to go out on the basis of achieving it. Now, Ange kind of summed it up well, which was, being in the Champions League isn't a yardstick for how successful we are, because, you know, we're developing as a team. Winning stuff will be the yardstick of how successful we are. You know, top four is everything. Now, from a club point of view, they'll want to be in the Champions League because of the money, obviously. From our point of view as a fan, I want the Champions League because it's the best competition, and I want us to be competing for the top prizes. At the same time, I do recognise we are rebuilding right now, so I am not going to be really upset if it's the Europa League next season. That doesn't
mean looking at the teams that are around the Europa League, I think we could go a long way into the Europa League.
So
therefore, more match time for potentially some of these rotation options. More match time, you know.
Yeah, but look, this is the thing which is interesting, right? Because I think this kind of sums up It sums up where fans and stuff and me and you, I think we're kind of like-minded. We're kind of quite positive in nature, kind of quite laid-back and stuff in the way we talk about things. When we're talking about this, what we have just done in that is say we're not good enough to win the Champions League, but with them, in the way we're talking about rotating youth players, we're too good for the Europa League. The reason why we never win that thing is because we as a club don't take it seriously. In our time, under Mauricio Pochettino initially, but Harry Redknapp before that, and managers before, and then managers after, the Conference League and the Europa League were competitions there for us to win. The teams that have knocked us out were not so much better than us, maybe better on the night, but if we'd played properly and if we'd actually gone for it, I genuinely believe we'd win these competitions. We should have
won that two European trophies in a row.
We could have had 2-3 European trophies under our belt, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone's kind of that first ever Conference League, we got knocked out by a team whose manager was in jail at the time.
Gotcha.
You know, our serial winner Jose Mourinho. It's a joke. It's like a bad joke that when we're not in the Champions League, we don't seem to try. That has to change. That mentality has to change. Now, I
think Andy would change it.
I hope so. But like I've said then about like the rotation option and everything, there are going to be games in the Champions League. And I say that about FA Cup and like League Cup. A lot depends on your draw. Like this season, our draws in those competitions were crap. They were Premier League teams. We couldn't really
rotate.
Oh, they were
brutal, weren't they? Yeah.
And when we did, we lost. Now, you get a home tie against a lower league team, then we can rotate a few, bring a few youth players in and let them have that game.
But you still want 6 or 7 first teamers with a scattering of rotation.
So for me, I think we need to target Champions League, of course, but I personally would not see it as the end of the world if we're in the Europa League, because we are rebuilding. Once we are rebuilding this side and getting it towards a level we want to be at, then, I then view Champions League as the minimum, if that makes sense. But right now, I don't see it as the be all and end all, and I'm not too worried. I want us back in Europe, and I think that's the goal.
No, I agree with you.
But back into this then. So midfield wise, from the squad
Devine
planning,
and Donnelly. Then. Are we going to add Devine and Donnelly?
Well, no, because they're under 21. We don't need to. They would both for
gotcha,
the Premier
they'd be
League. Yeah, and they'd be B list for Europe. So we don't need to add them in. It was just a kind of conversation whilst we were going.
However,
through it.
I want to see those two in and around the first team next season.
Yeah, Phillips and Dorrington for central defenders, Devine and Donnelly for midfield. You know, of course there's other players in amongst it as well, but those are the four that I've kind of
if they can be training with the first team, but maybe appearing for the under 21s.
Yeah.
Kind of that's where you want to see those guys, isn't it?
Yeah, or on loan. You know, but like I said, I think a lot will depend on where we're at and everything, but those four players right there, Phillips, Dorrington, Devine, Donnelly, all English, all homegrown, and two of them are club trained.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's good. So we now move into attackers, I've classed it as. So strikers, forwards, wingers, everyone in this, we're attackers is the kind of the thing.
Forward players.
Yeah, forward players. Now, this one I think is going to be the biggest punch up over the lot. So I'm going to start.
Depends. Are you asking me or a Polynesian Dan? Because those opinions are very different.
So we are going to start with one I think we can both agree on. And I think due to the fact the money we spent in the club, there's no way he's leaving this summer. And that's Johnson. Brennan Johnson. Now, Johnson, despite being Welsh, is association trained. So he is classed as homegrown. So that's good.
There's another tick. That is up to seven.
So that is Brennan Johnson.
Out of 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're both agreed on that. That's fine. So we're now going to move into the first controversial one. Well, actually, no. I think we're going to move into the one that me and you should agree on, and Polynesian Dan should shut up. The club captain, Son Heung-min.
Son is in the squad.
Yeah.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that is another foreign player slot taken, though.
Oh, it's 11.
Okay, so the next one I want to talk to you about, because this could get violent, Dejan Kulusevski.
Yep.
I like Deki a lot.
I do, yeah.
He is a great player who is suffering with his form currently.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Kulusevski, I think he's out of form, but I think the quality that he has, the presence he has, is such we need to support him through this, not bin him. That's my opinion. There's discussion around Ange Ball and does he suit it with the kind of way he plays. I think he can play on the right, he can play on the left. He can actually play as a centre forward quite well. He can also play in the 10 role, which I actually think suits him more. But there are options with him in the squad. I think his abilities is there for all to see. So for me, I want to keep him, but I know there's a lot of calls for him to maybe depart. What do you think?
I think you're bang on. I actually think his best role is the number 10 role, where we're seeing Maddison play at the moment.
Yeah.
Because he is so good on the ball. And the amount of chances that he's creating, even being off form, I wonder if actually if you had two very quick wingers either side and a striker in front of him, and he is the playmaker just pinging passes all over the place, I think you see a different sort of player. Kulusevski is in my keep. My keep list. Is he in yours?
Yep, he is. So that's marking down. That's another foreign player slot taken.
Of course, yep.
So the next one, which again is a little bit interesting, is Manor Solomon. Manor Solomon was signed on a free transfer last summer, controversially.
God, weren't they just?
And
that didn't go down well with people.
He a real freak injury, like Perisic, just a real freak injury, ruled him out for basically the whole season.
So how many minutes did he play this season?
Okay, you looking up.
He has played five games. He started to and was subbed off into, and he made 198 minutes.
Not a lot.
Not a lot, no, bless him. Unfortunately, yeah, he like they say, he picked up that kind of freak injury, but he's a player that I really was quite excited about, his style of play.
He is someone who really suits Ange Ball in his style of play. He likes to beat players. He can also cut in and hit shots. For me, this is one of those which is kind of tricky because every part of me is like, we've not really seen him yet, so how can we make a judgment? But again, we're working our way through this squad, and he is another foreign player slot. So for me, I think he's in, but that could change.
I think, okay, let's put Solomon in, but I'm going to put a little asterisk next to him.
Yeah. Brian Hill.
Oh, poor old Brian.
Now, you're a massive fan of young Brian. I
realise I'm just a big fan of the players that wear the number 11 shirt. That seems to be like, the 11 seems to be like my kryptonite.
Yeah, okay.
He is a player who, for me, Brian Gill has all the ability and all the talent in the world to be a fantastic footballer.
Yeah.
But whether it's a case of we signed him too young and he's homesick or doesn't quite fit the system, I don't know. But it just hasn't worked, I guess, how everyone expected it to be.
My opinion is we failed him as a football club. And the reason why I feel we failed him is because we loaned him back to Spain to get loan fees and to get the wages covered, rather than loaning him to English clubs to establish himself in English football, learn the language.
We never really helped him, did we? We kind of literally just said to him, oh, you're feeling homesick, you're not fitting in. Okay, go back to Spain, that's where you liked it. Whereas he should have gone to a lower Premier League team or even a Championship team and got match days. And it's the old thing of getting kicked in the Championship to toughen up.
it's a very English football mentality, that, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's for me, and again, I'm going to be a little bit brutal and sharp on it. For me, he has to go this summer. For him as a player and for us as a club, it's a foreign player slot. He's contributed nothing, which sounds brutal and harsh, but he hasn't. There's a player there, and I hope he has a great career, and we all look at him and go, bloody hell, look at him winning the Champions League for Barcelona.
Yeah, he has played this season. He's played 10 games. At 189 minutes. So he's actually played less minutes than Solomon, who's been out injured for most of the season.
Yeah, in more appearance. Yeah, so look, let's just say thank you very much. It hasn't worked. Bless you.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing with him is the player that we traded the other way to get him.
Yeah, let's not talk about it. We're developing a side tangents. We need to try and stay focused. We're into show two on this as it is. I don't want to do show three.
That is true. All right, so Gil is out as well. Okay.
Yeah, Gil is out. The next one I want to say is Veliz. Now, Veliz is a very talented striker. We've loaned him to Seville, and he's not really getting the minutes. Now, the reason why he went to Seville, from everything I've heard, is he needed a loan, and that was the option that was there. There's a small loan fee. His wages are fully covered. Spanish speaking, felt more at home doing it, so it made sense. He also had an injury and needed to rehab it and just kind of warm weather training. It was like, this suits everything. From what I'm reading, from everything that I've seen, the club and the player are already working hard for a Championship loan next season. So it would appear to me that the club have looked at Belize and gone, we're learning from our mistake with Brian Hill. We signed you, we got you acclimatized. He was coming on, he was part of the first team squad, which a lot of us didn't think he would be. I saw him make a few appearances for the under-21s as well and scored a couple.
He looks like a very good player.
He looks very sharp, very good. Now, if there is an option to get him a season in the Championship where he's going to be a starting striker for someone, that has to be done. Got to be done. So for me,
I think it also depends. He's got to go to the right club as well. You know, like, I think we're looking at how Ange plays. He's got to go to the right club. There's no point putting him in a club that's just route one long balls all the time, you know? It has to suit everyone.
There's different aspects to this. Without a shadow of a doubt, you're right. And we always look at that for the loans of who the coaches are going to be. The issue is you sign a loan deal for a season and the manager gets sacked after a week. So
then you're in trouble.
So we, again, this is something we've learned, because we used to go so heavy on that. A lot of loan deals wouldn't happen in time, or players would miss out on loans because we're like, no, you can't go there. The coaches aren't what we want. We're now changing that slightly because of the reality of where we have done that. And we've been so fastidious of like the facilities and this coach plays this style good. That's what we like. And then they're there for a week and the coach gets fired. And we're like, oh, that was a month wasted. So it's now a case of, okay, are they going to get game time? Because if they don't, we're going to recall them. Like, we need you to sell us on the fact that you want this kid and you have a plan and they're going to play. And, you know, as long as they're playing, because then it's up to them. Like, so if a manager changes but a striker's scoring goals, you're not going to walk in and drop him. But you walk in and they're out of form, they're not playing well, then you are going to change it up. So then it's up to the individual. If they're going to get game time, it's up to them. So if Valise goes to the championship, and like you say, they're playing some Route 1 crap, but the kid's scoring week in, week out. His confidence is sky high. He's enjoying his football. Then he comes back and, you know, we're like, okay. You know, when the ball comes up to him, what's happened this season? He's now developed his ability to control the long ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's now a target man as well, actually.
There's pros and cons to all this massively, and it's a debate and you can go over it. But as a club, we have cocked up too many youth careers by not getting the right loans because we've been fuss-assing about which coach they're going to work under. Oh, I'd rather, you know, Pochettino, I'd rather keep them under me so I can coach them and they don't get bad habits.
And Carl Walker-Peters never really hit the...
Josh Onuma didn't. Josh Onuma, who was highly rated midfielder in world football, you know, not just England, world football. He was highly rated, sought after. He made all the top lists and just career went, vanished. Yeah. So, there's a lot to be said for us learning from our mistakes, and I hope with the least we learn from the Brian Hill mistakes of, okay, now we get him alone in England and help him develop. So for me, we don't need to worry about Valise in this squad. I think, yes, he's going to be registered probably in the under-21 list again, but he's going to go out on loan again. I think that's safe to say.
Makes sense.
So the next one, which again could be a debate, Richie, Richarlison.
Now, this is a difficult one because when we first signed him, I was fuming that we signed him. He was not a player I liked. I didn't like his attitude. I didn't like his style of play. I didn't like the typical Brazilian, the wind has changed direction, I must fall over like I've been sniped. I didn't like that, and I didn't want a player like that at my club. This season, he had his injury. He had the surgery. He came back, and oh my, he was like a different player when he came back from that injury.
Yeah.
Like he scored like what, 9 goals in 10 games or something crazy. And like he was on fire. He was doing really well. Mm. And I don't think the fact that we played some of our best football with him up front and Son on the left is a coincidence.
I agree.
I think we need an out and out striker who is going to press the back line, who is going to press the goalkeeper and do what Richarlison does.
I agree.
He's also young. He's only, what, 26? 26, I think he is?
I'm not sure, mate, honestly.
He's not an old... Like, you know, he's a young striker still by relative terms. He was born in 97. There you go. Yeah. So he's still relatively young. So then I'm looking at that and I'm like... We spent a lot of money on him. Let's not forget as well. We signed him for a decent fee. And I'm like, I think unless a fantastic opportunity comes up, we have to keep him.
So the rumour is there is a club in Saudi willing to buy him for the money we paid for him. There is there's a strong rumour that one of the clubs in Saudi Arabia are willing to give us £60 million for him this summer. They came in last summer and we rejected it. But again, the rumour is Richie is open to it because he's obviously a Brazil international, and where they play it doesn't really matter, but that kind of suit him time zone-wise. And yeah. The money-wise, he would basically quadruple his wage, which is not a bad wage, overnight.
No.
To go.
Yeah.
So
you can understand why players are going out there. Let's ignore the "I'm trying to grow the league" rubbish. I think there's a very obvious reason players are going out there, and it pays very, very well.
It does.
And you cannot criticize players who a football career is short.
A career, and it can be gone in an instant. So one bad tackle, and Rich is the sort of person that someone would try and break his legs without a doubt. So
yeah,
I am of the opinion of Richie that he's in for me, but if an offer comes in. For me, if he turns around and says, "Yeah, do you know what? I'll talk to them. I'm interested," and we are getting the 60 million back, I think all parties concerned can part as friends, if that makes sense. But if not, I think he's shown enough in that injury-free period before he picked up another one that he offers a lot to us as the number nine.
Yeah, number 21 in our list, Richarlison.
Okay, so let's go to the one that causes the most controversy at the moment. Currently here on loan is Timo Werner.
Now, this is a weird one because it's causing a lot of people are conflicting their reports on this one as to whether he's a good signing, whether he's not, etc., etc. All you've got to do is look at his stats, surely. Surely just look at the stats and go, "Oh, yeah, do you know what? Actually, he's quite a good player, isn't he?" Yeah. Okay, he's only scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
I think, so that means he is currently, just looking at some of the stats that don't help my argument here, he has an 11.1% conversion rate.
Yeah.
That is something I think that needs to be worked on.
Oh, really?
So like that
Timo Werner needs to work on his finishing. Shit, man. You should be a scout.
I know, right? I can work this out. That doesn't make good reading. I didn't think it was going to be 11.1. Okay. No.
So let's...
However...
Let's not take a deep dive on that. Let's try and break down some interesting... some facts, and then it's kind of like a decision to be made. The money to sign him isn't a lot of money in footballing terms. It's 15 million euros, so it's less than that in pounds sterling. So it's not a lot of money in footballing terms to sign him. He's very experienced. He's a very good professional. He suits Ange Ball down to the ground. He is someone who will, with his pace as well, terrifies defenders. One of the things he's worked on a lot, which I hope a lot of people have noticed, is he doesn't go offside anywhere near what he did. His offside record at Chelsea was abysmal. His offside record for us when he joined us was starting to become abysmal, and he's completely corrected it. And I'm really impressed with that. Of course he's going to get caught. His pace, etc. He's trying to run. He's trying to stay on that last defender.
And having watched him play recently, I've noticed more and more that instead of going higher up the pitch, he's going out wider instead.
So
there was a few matches, I think it was the last game I watched, there was a couple of matches, a couple of touches where he was basically off the pitch.
Yeah, he is.
And his touch kept the ball on, and then it was banged down the wing, and you're like, that's what you need to be doing.
What is interesting as well is he's doing the run in to go out. So he's running in, so the defenders, the fullback's being dragged, and then he's sprinting with his pace to go out. He is a tormentor of defenders. Now, statistically, if you think of him as a winger, okay, comparatively to every wide player in the Premier League, he is right up there. Since he signed in January, he is sort of second for assists, third for goals scored from that position. See, the thing is kind of funny is Ronaldo ruined wingers for the world because Ronaldo posted numbers of goals, which now everyone's like, oh, he's a winger. He should be getting 30 a season. Prior to Ronaldo, wingers got assists and key passes. The goals were a bonus. So
every now and again, they'd pop up in the box at the right time to tap one home.
Exactly, and that's it. And so that's kind of like a a new creation. You know, thanks Ronaldo. You kind of ruined that for everybody.
Yeah. People forget as well that he took all the set pieces as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, big time. Yeah, anything. He was throwing himself up there. So he is doing everything you're asking of him. He beats players, which not many of our side do. His pace is a real threat. For me, you look at the squad this season, and Brian Hill was named in our 25-man squad. With him leaving, I think you sign Timo Werner, and he is a rotation option and a backup to Sonny on that left side. That's my humble opinion. What do you think?
Can you imagine? You're 65, 70 minutes into a match,
yeah,
and you've had Son run you ragged the whole match.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we either take off Son or we take off Richarlison, saying he stays, and Son moves to the centre, and you bring on Timo Werner. Yeah. You're already knackered from chasing Son, and now you've got someone even quicker than him coming on, and you're like, oh, come on,
give us a break. Yeah, exactly. Or vice versa. There's going to be games where Sonny needs to sit on the bench. You know, Son's age is of a point where you need to manage him. You need to manage him better. Sonny will play every minute of every game if you let him. But you need to manage him because you want him to. His ability is such that you want to manage his minutes to maximize his ability in all the key games. So you need someone who you can rely on. And Timo, I think, since January, has proven we can rely on him to do that job. You cannot rely on him to be a striker who's going to score you goals. It's 100% you can't do that. And he does need to work on, like, he does get himself in those positions. You do want to see him score. He's one of those players because he was prolific. Before the Chelsea move, he was prolific. And you look at him and you kind of have that feeling with him where some players just lose it and never get it back. With him, I kind of feel like if he was to score two or three, like he went a few games where he was picking him up, he'd get five, six, seven, eight. He just looks like that kind of player.
He scored that one goal, didn't he? Yeah. He scored a goal in one game, and then in the next game, took a great goal to score a second. And you're like, oh, okay. You watch the social media stuff of Tottenham training.
Yeah.
Man, he buries them. You watch the training. Yeah. He's burying them. Top corners, not a problem. I'm like, what changed?
It's one of those things. I think perhaps it's just one of those things where he's got in his head about it. Like, you know, you see Sonny go through on goal. When Sonny first signed for us, I'd have probably just been like, oh, he's going to miss. Once Sonny's got time to think, he's going to miss. But now you see Sonny go through on goal, and it's like, Kane, I'm backing in the score. I'm putting my house on it, and I'm shocked if he doesn't. Werner goes through, and almost the whole stadium goes, oh.
Oh,
and you know, you can't not feel that. You can't not kind of feel that expectation. And in his head, he's probably going, "Oh no, not again! Oh no, not again! please let me score, goalkeeper! Please just fall over, like take me out, win a penalty, so someone else can have a go. Is there anyone with me? Anyone? Can I pass the ball? You know,
his
brain is probably freaking out.
Don't pass me! Don't pass to me!
Yeah. I've made the run, but ignore me. Shit! I've got the ball. Oh, please be offside. No, I'm not. Fuck. You know? So his brain's probably killing himself every time. But, like, he goes around the keeper once and scores, and his brain, okay, I remember how to do this. It's there. You can see it's there. Yeah. He is going to score tap-ins. But the thing is, he's in the side to create. When he was at Chelsea, he got slammed, joked about, memed, ridiculed, and he left because they signed him as a 20 to 30 goal striker, and that's not his game. In English football, it's not his game for sure.
No.
But he did average a goal contribution every other game. So one in two. And since signing for us in January, he's doing it again.
I mean, that's what you ask for, isn't it? If you've got a wide player, a goal contribution, one in two, you're kind of happy with that, aren't you?
And if he's a player who's an option, he probably isn't a starter, but he is a consummate professional. And you see the way, and he also, from the minute he signed on loan, he's been like, I love this here. This club's, you know, he's giving him boost gumps. Anyway, boosy gumps. Bless him. So for me, I say we complete that deal and we add Timo Werner to next season's squad.
Yep, agreed.
We had a message come in from Rockme Amadeus about Timo. He wanted to highlight whether Timo Werner is a signing of Levy on the cheap, you know, as some would accuse the club of doing, or whatever that's saying. So this is something which I think is going to get talked about a lot again, but Daniel Levy's a control freak. He's never not going to be involved in things, but...
So true.
But
yeah.
We now have a sporting side of the club which have got a budget and don't actually report to him. As in, Scott Munn is in charge. You've got a director of football, sporting director, and Ange. And all the players last summer signed, and in January, including Timo, Ange, part of his contract is he signs off on it. So Tottenham will not sign a player that Ange Postecoglou has not personally spoken to. It is part of his deal. It's part of his, I will not be your club manager if I do not get to do this. And I know for... fact
so
from
many
reporting.
Players have come out and said about
yeah big time. But also there's a very clear, which we don't know the name, but there is a player he spoke to that the club had lined up, and he after that phone call said nope, he thinks we're a stepping stone, I'm not having that.
Yeah,
and then we moved on to our next target. So yeah, that whole kind of speculation around signing, if we sign anyone with Ange Postecoglou as our boss, Ange is the one who signed off on it.
He has spoken to him and discussed it and worked out, are you the right fit or not? Which I think that's what you need to have as a manager. Like, that's what a manager should be. None of this whole, oh, the club signed him, not me, rubbish.
Yeah, no, it's... Look, you work with a director of football, work in a structure where the recruitment team come to him and say, right, we've identified these players. Ange then goes, yeah. But they are talking constantly. Ange said it in a press conference recently. They have got their plan for next season. Because someone put to him and said, oh, you know, is it going to vary if it's the Champions League? He's like, no, because if I've got a player who only wants to join us because we're in the Champions League, I don't want him. So they're joining us. They're joining us because they want...
That was one of my favourite sentences that he said.
They're joining us because they want to play for Tottenham Hotspur and achieve something for this great football club. If they're joining us just because we've qualified for the Champions League, not someone I want. And based on the conversation, based on like what people are saying about that, I think that's 100% true as well, not just lip service.
Yeah.
So with Timo being someone that Ange looked at and went, yeah, if we got the chance, let's bring him in. It was a no-brainer loan deal for me because Sonny was going off to Asia. It just made perfect sense in January. I said that at the time.
Yep.
I think he's done enough for me to earn the move permanent. So
I think so.
Where are we at, man? Can you give us a breakdown of where we're at?
So we only have 22 players on our list at the moment.
And how many of them are foreign?
15.
Okay, so we've got 3 slots to fill.
We have 7 homegrown and 3 club trained.
Okay, so all right, so here's one for you then. Troy Parrott is a full Ireland international.
He is a very good player.
But because when we signed him, and because he's an EU national and how long he's been registered, he is classed both as homegrown and club trained.
Oh, okay. So I feel like Parrott is in direct competition with Dane Scarlett at the moment.
Okay. Look at the ages.
I know their ages are different, but I feel like the club is going to kind of look at those two, and I feel like they're going to end up in kind of almost competition with each other.
So here's the thing with these two. You're absolutely right. Those two are a very similar kind of thing, but Parrott has gone on loan this season in Holland. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, the Netherlands.
Netherlands. He has done very well. Rave reviews.
Just came back from me. Have you seen his last game, which is, it makes me laugh. This kind of... So
was this him getting sent off after the final whistle?
Yeah. So he'd had an injury, which was sad because he was doing great. But then he came back from injury, scored, got an assist, and sent off after the final whistle. And I think from what I've read, he's kind of been like, "All right, we've taken it back to a yellow card." I think he said something. I'm not entirely sure what he said. But a goal and assist on his first game back sums up his time in the Netherlands. He has been great. PSV have made an approach, and they've actually spoken about him publicly, which shows it. 3 clubs in Italy, 5 clubs in Spain, 6 clubs in the Championship and 3 in the Premier League all want Troy next season. There's a funny thing with Tottenham fans around this, like saying, oh, that never worked out for him, did it? This whole nonsense of, because we signed him at like 17 or 16 or 17 with this big reputation of, oh, he's the next
Robbie Keane. Oh, he was going to be the next Kane, wasn't he? Yeah.
No, he was the next Robbie Keane because of where he's from.
That was it, the Irish thing, yeah.
And people forget that, like, he's still relatively young, but he is, I think he's 22 now, or he's 21 turning 22. So that means if we name him in the squad, he would go on to the A list. He would be in the 25-man squad, and he would tick homegrown and club trained now. Now, when he comes back, he's got a year left on his deal, because I think we've got an option for an extra year. For me personally, I think Troy Parrott comes back. Last season, he got injured and couldn't play in pre-season with Ange at all. So when he came back from injury, Ange made the call to send him out on loan. Because it was like, look, I've not seen him. I don't know. Go off on loan, play the season. And Ange has monitored him all season. Tottenham coaches have gone to watch games live. Tottenham have even, have had reports sent back. And basically, Ange and the coaching team have kept monitoring him the whole season. Him and Dane and players like that are players that are right there, if that makes sense. They're right on the cusp. It's just, can they make that step? Now, for me, again, it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, if you're in the Champions League, would you want to try and sign another striker who you feel you more reliable, is already played at this level, perhaps? If you're in the Europa League next season or the Europa Conference League, I think it's a no-brainer for me personally that you go, okay, kid, show me what you got in pre-season and earn that squad slot. Do you know what I mean? Earn that kind of... Show us what you're about. Show us you're a professional. Because the other thing, there was a lot of off-field stuff with Troy, which is now done. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was kind of noise around him. Family had ties to some not nice people in Ireland, who Troy then took on a tour around the training ground. caused a few security issues. So there was a lot of stuff around that I started to think, oh, maybe it's not going to work out for this kid, which is disappointing. He was prolific in the UEFA Youth League. Prolific. He is scouted and monitored. He's a full Ireland international, and he's not really played a first team game for us of note. So he, for me, is someone that I think Ange is definitely going to take a look at. I think, like I said earlier on about Ryan Sessegnon and his injuries, I think Ange knows his ability, but it's, can he do a pre-season and prove to me he can be fit? I think with Troy, it's going to be a case of, you know, but this comes back to this, homegrown club trained. You need...
He's both?
He's both. So... for European football to fill out a full 25-man squad, we need him.
Yeah. You
know, there ain't no one else there.
No, so Dane Scarlett's still young enough that he'd be on the B list in the under-21s.
You got it, yep.
You've also got Lancashire.
And Sunsop Bell.
Again. And Sunsop Bell, both of them would be on the B and under 21s?
They would, but also both of them are homegrown, not club trained. We signed both of them.
Of course, yeah. One from Sheffield and one from Chelsea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think in that case, I'm adding Parrott. Number 23 in the squad goes to Parrott.
Troy Parrott. Okay.
Homegrown and club trained. So this brings our homegrown to 8 and our club trained to 4, and it still leaves us 2 spaces.
Yep. So if I'm right, we've got 2 spaces left and they can both be foreign players. Am I right?
They could well be 15, 16, 17. That takes 2. Yep.
Okay. I think if you look at the players that we let go, midfield is where we're looking most, but also...
We only have 5 players currently down as definites for midfield.
That's us. We've walked through the squad. I don't think we've missed anyone. I'm just looking over it now.
No, same, I'm going through the website. No, we're okay.
Now, there is a rumour going around currently from various sources that the club are looking at 6 first-team recruits for the summer.
Oh crap! And we've only got 2 spaces.
No. I know. I'm just saying. This is the rumor. I mean, this is separate to what me and you have just done. But the rumor is we're looking at both fullbacks. We're looking at a left-sided central defender, a central midfielder, a right wing, and a striker. So that is the rumor. Now, don't get me wrong. Rumors can be just that. They can be like several people have identified. Oh, that's where they're looking. Or, you know, all you need is Fabrizio Romano on some podcast to say, oh, Tottenham are doing this, and then all of a sudden people think it's fact.
The world goes, yes, they are, yes, they are.
Yeah. So, and then it becomes mass retweet and repeat, and by the end of the week, it's gospel, not rumour. So I always try and say, look, this is rumour, and this is where this is. From our point of view, from everything we've just done, I think a central defender and a central midfielder are the two that I'd add into this. Okay? So I think...
Now, I haven't got Bergvall as an actual number yet.
Well, Bergvall, because of his...
with a star.
Yeah, because of Bergvall's age, for the Premier League, we wouldn't need to worry. For Europe, he would potentially... He would have to be on the A list. So, for me, that is a... You know, if in pre-season he looks phenomenal, like they go, oh, wow, this kid is special, then you change your mind, don't you? You go, okay, yeah, he's on the A-list. he's the kid. We don't need to sign anyone else. Thank you very much. We're all laughing.
And we've also got the young defender out as well, haven't we? We've signed him but left him at his club. I always forget his name.
He's not joining us this summer though, Vlahovic.
No, he joins next summer, doesn't he?
Yeah, because of his age, that's
so you gotta worry about
that's longer term. Is he already listed in our under 18s? Yes, he is. Just so everyone knows.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
learn from our mistakes. So central defenders. There are 3 central defenders playing in the Premier League currently. Bournemouth, Fulham, and one other that's gone completely out of my head. Oh, sorry, everyone. That's so annoying. I'm going to bring it back to 2. There's one at Fulham, one at Bournemouth.
You're thinking Lloyd Kelly.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I can't say his name. I can't say his name.
Yeah.
But Fulham, and they are both players that are out of contract this summer, and so would be available on free transfers. For me, everyone's looking at the kid at Fulham. Everyone's looking at him saying, that's the one we want, that's the one we want. I'm looking at the guy at Bournemouth for one reason only. I think they're both of a similar level. I genuinely do. I think the guy at Fulham has played better recently because the lad at Bournemouth has had an injury. So I think recently, and I think Fulham's form has been better, which helps. And I think he stands out, but he's right-footed, playing on the right side of central defence, where we have Romero and we have Dragusin.
We need the left foot.
Lloyd Kelly is quick. He's good on the ball. He's left-footed. For me, he slots in, he's 25, I think, he slots in perfectly into our back four, because you only got to look at the difference when Dragusin's playing on the left or Romero or whoever's playing on that left, the distribution, you know, naturally having your left-footed, right-footed makes a massive difference. So that, for me, is if I'm building this squad, I go for Lloyd Kelly as my priority. But again, and this is a massive thing, he'd be a free transfer. He's Premiership, he's homegrown, so that for me is a no brainer, and we should go for that straight away. Get it done. Like that's a deal to get done. Obviously providing he's interested and he wants to join us. He's also Bristolian, which, you know, a Bristolian central defender at Tottenham, you know, Gary Mabbott, Let's roll
it brings back memories for you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's roll it back. And a Bristol boy, I'd be delighted. So I'd be getting his name on my shirt for sure. So yeah, mate, when it comes to midfield, we are constantly linked with Conor Gallagher. I don't think that's going to go anywhere now, personally.
No, it's a weird one because it's a link that just will not go away.
There's a reason for that, and the reason for that is someone on Conor Gallagher's side has let it be known that he'd be up for moving the Spurs, and someone on Spurs' side has let it be known that we want him. Chelsea need to sell players, so the store is not going anywhere. I personally think...
With the stupid rule changes, how desperate are Chelsea now to sell players, or are they willing just to play a bit of a... Oh, pay the luxury tax, it's fine.
Yeah, until we know exactly what that's going to be, I don't know the position they're in. Me personally, you look at their accounts and see that the only reason they've not broken the rules in the last financial year is because they sold a hotel from their left hand to their right hand. That shouldn't be allowed. That shouldn't be allowed, but I don't think there's anything in the rules to prevent it. I don't think there's anything there currently to stop someone from doing it. So I don't know how they're... But the thing is, we can talk about them having to sell to avoid breaking the rules, but there's no way on how they can spend the money they've just spent again. And they all I hear about it is then talking, we need to add some experience, we need to do this. But also, their chairman's gone off to Saudi and had meetings over there to sell players to the Saudi league.
Because it's going to be crazy money.
And he needs to offload them. I just really hope a few of those players dig in. Like, no, I signed an 8-year contract with you. I want to play in England. I really hope a few of them dig in, because it just angers me that clubs get away with stuff like that. Man City have got away with it, and it's just so difficult to prove with Man City and Chelsea. It's like right there. It's frustrating, and I think if you're a smaller club getting clobbered at the minute and you're kind of looking at Chelsea and Man City going, well, when's their day? But very different cases, which I have stressed before, very different things, which is why they're not quite so easy to put down. But that is our squad run through. It's taken us two shows, episodes 233 and 234 back to back. We've walked our way through the squad. We've had our opinions on various players and how we do it, how we'd structure it. Let us know. And get in touch.
We still have a squad list. Number 25 is still available for Jack Grealish to join. So that's perfect.
No, not a chance in hell. One, we'd never pay the fee. Two, we'd never pay his wages. Three, I'm fairly confident Aston Villa in the Champions League, if he's going anywhere, he's going to go home.
He's going home, yeah.
But that's it. That is our discussion. That is our show, double show. I hope everyone's enjoyed this. We had fun doing it. Like I said, it's all just opinions, so let us know what you think. You've got all the ways to get in touch with us via any of our social medias, via email, sam@spursnews.co.uk. You can drop a message to the podcast as well. We will be back next week, where we will be discussing the North London Derby, and in every way possible, just praying to all of the gods that we get a result. Let that be a fun, fun show. Until then, everybody. Mate, do you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, everybody, and come on, you Spurs.
Goodbye, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Spurs News Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Stay up to date with all things Tottenham. Follow us on social media. All links are in the podcast description.